can we look at, I think, why women are getting autoimmune diseases more prevalently than men, or just, you know, and the rise of autoimmune diseases going up. I think we have to look at all the different factors. Right. So one, you know, is our environment, right? That we live in. We live in a much more toxic world than we used to. And as women, we use way more products than men. We use makeup, we use hair products, we use, you know, skin products. Mm-hmm. So we're, not only are we trying to battle all the outside toxins around us, but then we're putting more things in. So we like upped it a notch for our body to have to deal with. That's just not like, those are true facts, because those are xenoestrogens. They're really affecting our body's ability to, it changes our hormones. It also changes our ability to detox properly. And that's the other thing too. I think that we're, you know, in America, in the United States, we have a standard American diet. So we're eating foods that are much more inflammatory for the system, right? And so I think because of that, we're seeing a rise as well. And then also as women, a lot of women go on the birth control pill, and that changes our body's natural ability to detox. It changes. It's not our real cycle when we're on birth control. It's a total fake cycle that then those birth controls are controlling. Right. And so I think that's another reason. And then the emotional component, I think that, you know, we just have lost kind of that self-expression about what our true like voice is, especially when we're talking about Hashimoto's thyroiditis and thyroid conditions, about expressing our true voice, expressing who we are, living our purpose and dream. So I kind of think like that it's all connected in that way. And that's why we're seeing this rise slowly and slowly, especially in younger women. Because we used to see in older women, we would see, or just older generations, we would see that autoimmune disease come into play, especially like rheumatoid arthritis. But now we're seeing it in much younger women. We're like, well, that's really strange, right? And I think that's why, just by all those different things multiplying, it's like the volcano effect or the onion effect, right?
You're listening to the Fix Your Gut podcast. A podcast that empowers you to understand why you have gut issues and what to do about it. After over 20 years of suffering with IBS, migraines, and chronic fatigue, I decided to take matters into my own hands, and I became a nutritionist so I could not only heal myself, but heal others that were struggling like me. Odds are you're here because you're stuck. Your doctor couldn't help, and you've already tried cutting out foods and probiotics. So now what? You don't have to suffer anymore. You can heal your gut. We're going to go beyond diet and supplements to empower you with the knowledge you need to achieve deep, lasting healing and finally enjoy food again and get your life back. Welcome everyone to the Fix Your Gut podcast. Today I have a very special guest joining me, Dr. Lulu Shemek. Did I pronounce it?
Yes. Shemek, like lick. Shemek. Yeah. Shemek.
Perfect. She's a naturopathic physician and expert in genetic health, working with patients experiencing chronic disease. So that includes hormonal imbalance, endocrine disorders, gastrointestinal dysfunction, depression, anxiety, and fatigue. And she believes that once we dive deep down to the root of a problem and the distortion and truly ignite our body's ability to heal, we see unimaginable changes in our well-being. Her passion lies in helping people discover their zest and joy for life that has been lost along their path of illness. Before starting the Dr. Lulu Naturopathic Clinic, she journeyed through many careers as a true Renaissance woman. She studied interior design at the University of Georgia and has a doctorate from the prestigious Bastyr University. She also is an herbal formulator, international speaker, and author of the Spreading the Message of Health and Educating about Prevention and Well-Being. Her podcast, The Genetic Genius, is dedicated to genomics and planetary alternative health. And her new book focuses on using botanical medicine and other natural modalities to heal the whole body by optimizing vitality, increasing well-being, and enhancing cellular performance. So, welcome, Dr. Lulu.
Thank you so much for having me, Holly. I'm so excited to be here today.
Yes, I'm so excited to dive into this topic with you. I think, you know, now more than ever, seems to be that autoimmune diseases are really on the rise for a number of reasons. And it seems, you know, always that they've been more prevalent in women. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about why that is.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it's really good to kind of look at the whole body, not just the physical aspect. So a lot, you know, from that autoimmune perspective, like let's first like break it down to what even that means, first of all, right? Basically, your immune system is fighting against yourself. So in some area or some part, you know, your body, that message shifted and the attack is now on yourself, right?
Right.
So I think that's the first way to kind of look at like, well, why did that even happen to me? What's going on in my system? And I think that can be emotionally challenging for people to, you know, deal with and understand. So I think that's kind of like just lays that foundation of that. And there's many, many, many autoimmune diseases. You know, some are more common, some are really rare. There's all different aspects of it.
Yes, exactly. And even a role of the gut microbiome as well.
Mm-hmm, right? Exactly. Yeah, totally. We can't leave out the gut microbiome.
Yes, exactly. My favorite topic. But so let's maybe talk a little bit about how Western medicine or doctors would go about helping a patient with an autoimmune disease versus how a naturopath approach would be taken.
I just laugh at that question because really there's no solution. And first of all, like the lab testing for autoimmune diseases is very poor. I mean, there are, you can do ANA testing, but it's often missed, especially when we're talking about thyroid conditions. They say that one in every eight women will have a thyroid condition. And that's only the ones that are caught. There's a lot more ones that are misdiagnosed. So I think that from that Western perspective, one, they're missing it because they're not looking at the whole body, the whole picture that and we're talking about, that allopathic vision or model. And then I think that the other part of it is they don't have any of the tools. They don't have, you know, the only really thing that they have for autoimmune conditions is steroids. They do have some other, that's not the only one, but they do have some other pharmaceuticals, but pharmaceuticals suppress the body's natural ability to heal. So when our body is sending a message like, okay, I'm fighting against myself. There's a war going on inside me. And then we suppress that war. It really backfires. So a lot of times we'll see that when someone is put on a pharmaceutical with an autoimmune disease and they might start to feel a little better. They try to come off of it and then they get way worse because they've actually suppressed everything. So I think that's a kind of like that. All those things come into play is they just don't have the tools because they're not looking at the whole body. They're looking like you have this symptom and we're going to give you X. And that doesn't work when you have an autoimmune disease.
Exactly. You need to take more of a holistic whole person, body, mind approach, including lifestyle. It's not just take this pill or even have this diet and this pill. It's so much more to it. Right.
Yeah. And I think we've moved into this society. Everything has to be so quick. Right. And so an autoimmune disease doesn't have a quick fix. You know, it's not like you said, you can't just take the pill. And I mean, that's not true. We can ignite our body's ability to heal more quickly when it's given the right tools, but it's not, you don't go from like one day you feel great. And then the next day you have an autoimmune disease. It's a slow progression where you start to feel worse and your body gives you signs and you tune off those messages. You're like, what? I didn't hear you. Yeah. What did you say? You know, I'm going to listen to something else. Yeah. And so when we tune out something so long, then that autoimmune disease starts to come into play, right? So if we decide, you know, we're going to just take this one pill overnight, that's not going to work.
Right. Yeah. Where that might work for certain minor things like heartburn or something. But when it comes to such a complicated condition, it's not a quick fix and it does take time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe you could talk about testing. So maybe both for female sex hormones and also thyroid, how a medical physician would look at test results, so actual numbers versus how a naturopath would look and what ranges they're looking for, kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, typically in the MD world, when we're looking, let's just take thyroid, like you mentioned. So usually they'll just test for thyroid stimulating hormone, unless maybe you're seeing an endocrinologist, like you've been referred out, then sometimes there'll be more advanced testing, but just your basic primary care physician is just going to test for thyroid stimulating hormone. And so those numbers can range a lot because our thyroid fluctuates up and down all the time because we have, you know, it's our organ of metabolism and it's getting so many messages. It's on a feedback loop. So even when I'm working with patients, I'm, you know, I want to be testing it frequently to see if it's responding to treatment. So back to the question there, the, you're going to get that just standard straight up the board test. And there is a range in that. And I have, when I'm working with patients with, say I'm suspecting they're coming in and I think, you know, hey, you have Hashimoto's or maybe it, which is an autoimmune disease. I want to do more than just test that for sure. Because I want to see the full thyroid panel because like I mentioned, the thyroid gland is a feedback loop system. So the anterior pituitary gland in the brain communicates with the thyroid about what to do. And that's the thyroid stimulating hormone. It says, okay, you're not doing enough work or you're doing too much, right? So it tells it what to do. And that's how that those numbers can fluctuate. But then the thyroid has its own hormones that it signals back to the anterior pituitary gland. And it says, yes, I'm doing a good job. No, I'm not doing a good job. So when we don't test what the thyroid is saying, then it's like, we don't get the whole picture. You know, we only get one side of the sandwich, not the peanut butter and the jelly together.
Right.
So we want to see the whole picture. And then we also want to test for antibodies. So most of the time when a patient comes to see me, I don't see these tests haven't been done. They haven't gotten the full thyroid panel. And then they're not getting the antibodies tested. And the antibodies are going to show if they have the autoimmune disease of either Graves or thyroiditis like Hashimoto's. So it's really important because there are different types of treatment from, especially even from that naturopathic perspective. I want to see, you know, what exactly is going on. I just want to, you don't want to just guess.
Right.
you want to test and then help them. So there's all kinds of other testing that I do, of course, with thyroid. So one is the gut. I always test the gut because studies have actually been shown that celiac disease and Hashimoto's disease are highly correlated. So I always want to see, I don't do a full genetic celiac panel right away, but I definitely want to see if there's food sensitivity, especially from that autoimmune perspective. Are there reactions in the body that we need to know about, right? So a food panel, you know, there's both, I don't know, thoughts about that when you do a food sensitivity, that it's not showing you the true, like really what's going on. So the real thing is to do an elimination diet, but not everybody, like, I don't know, always has the time for that, but at least I want to see that. And this stool sample to see what's going on inside the gut, right? Is there bacteria or viruses? What's going on in there? Like, you know, because that's going to tell the body from, like, maybe they have leaky gut and stuff's leaking out into the bloodstream, causing this systemic inflammation. So you want to see the whole picture. Our body is not just one gland or one organ, you know, and I think that's the real difference between naturopathic medicine and functional medicine too, goes in that same with the naturopathic medicine. And then from that MD model, they're just not looking at the whole picture. They don't have the nutritional training. They don't have all the lab testing that we have. I think it just kind of like falls off the bus.
Yeah. It boggles my mind that even gastroenterologists, I mean, that is their specialty. And yet apparently there's some in the US that I have heard of that are starting to incorporate microbiome testing, which is amazing. But here in Canada, as far as I know, basically none of them are doing any kind of microbiome testing. And I've had clients even take, you know, the GI map, which is a PCR stool test, to their gastroenterologist to show them. And they're like, what is this? I don't know what this is. It's not relevant. Like, why are you bringing that to me? And I'm just like, okay, clearly we have a long way to go, but
right.
Yeah.
It's so true. And, you know, it's just not in their scope, you know, and I, you know, and I think that's the part of it is that we can judge that, but it's not their scope. You know, they're great at emergency medicine. You know, and I think that if I break my knock on wood, if I ever broke my arm, I would want to have that medicine available for that immediate care. I would do a lot of other natural things, of course, but, you know, and I think that that's why I like naturopathic medicine, functional medicine so much more, is because we have much bigger toolbox and a lens.
Yeah. And maybe just mentioning briefly there, when we're talking about the gut and the thyroid, I guess one of the main reasons why the gut is impacting the thyroid is it's just setting up that chronic inflammation, right? So the inflammation that's starting in the gut and then circulating and impacting the thyroid function.
Right. That's so true. Because if you think about it, like if you have, you know, if you have a, a watering hose where you're going to be watering the garden and then stuff is leaking out of it. That's kind of like what I think about as the gut, right? So we have this, we want to have this really strong lining and then things start to leak out of it. And if you're having those things leak out into your bloodstream, your body's not going to be happy, right? Your immune system is going to go like, ooh, what's this weird foreign particle floating around? And so it's going to have an immune response. And I think that's a huge part of why we have the autoimmune diseases, like we were talking earlier. It's like you have this, you know, this different autoimmune response because people are not taking care of their gut. That's true.
That's true. Yeah. Don't even get me started on that, that sad diet.
Right.
Same thing here in Canada. Yeah, unfortunately. And I think there's been a lot more emotional eating now more than ever with the stress of the last few years. So probably even less fiber and fruits and vegetables than before.
Hopefully we're getting out of that back into eating well. I hope people are.
Yeah. I think it's additionally, depending where you are, I guess, like here in Canada, a lot of people get seasonal affective disorder too. So they tend to crave those comfort foods and have a harder time reaching for, I mean, not going to crave a salad in the middle of the winter per se. So yeah, it's definitely more a seasonal thing. So kind of fighting that too.
Yeah. It's so true. When I lived in Seattle, when I went to naturopathic medical school, I had a light that I would use in my bedroom to help me wake up, but to also to have that sunshine effect because I couldn't take it. I'm a sun baby. I was born in Florida. I'm like, I need the sun.
Yes. So helpful. What a difference, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one of those lights as well, especially when I'm up early mornings for work and it's dark out, then it really helps you wake up It does help with mood and when you feel better. And I often, you know, this is usually my first starting place with clients is a lot of them that have gut issues also have mental health concerns. And while I'm not a professional in that field, I can tweak certain things, give them certain supplements to help support their mood in conjunction with other things, obviously. And in doing so, when they're in that better place, it's that much easier to make healthy choices.
So it's true. Time. So
yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe you can give us a little bit of a glimpse into how you would support someone that you've done the test and you've shown that they have Hashimoto's. What would you do to help them?
That's a great question. So I usually kind of like break things down for the patient. First of all, when someone's coming to me with Hashimoto's, they're usually pretty worn out. So, you know, we want to start things, give them some kind of relief, but also start things slow so they don't feel overwhelmed. I think that's like key. So I look at the routine first, establishing some routine, like morning, like eating routines and waking up routines. How are they pooping? You know, how are things moving through the system and eliminating and eating at regular times of the day, taking their supplements at regular times, and then having a evening routine. So I think that is one thing I always look at first is routine that helps them feel really supported and nurtured.
For sure. Your stomach has been killing you. So you finally get to see your doctor. They do all these tests and then they tell you there's nothing wrong. It's IBS. Except IBS isn't really a thing. It's what they tell you when they can't figure out what's wrong. But there is something wrong. Of course there is. You feel like crap. So how upsetting is it to be told there's nothing wrong, to be dismissed, to be given no explanation for your symptoms, to be told it's just IBS and there's no cure? When it happened to me, I cried. And every time I saw another specialist and got told the same thing, I cried again. No one understood. I just couldn't keep living like this. I've seen this in every single one of my clients. They're frustrated, they're overwhelmed, they feel like they've tried everything. Gluten-free, low FODMAP, low carb, low sugar. Sure, some of them helped a bit, but now they're feeling stuck with these symptoms and they just can't seem to feel better. And with every client, I use the same 4-step protocol. And every time they got better. And why is that? Because we treated the root causes. And most importantly, we made it enjoyable so they could still eat their favorite foods. So the question is, are you ready to give up Dr. Google and try something totally different? Are you ready to prioritize your health? Are you willing to not just change your diet, but your mindset and your lifestyle too? Then you're ready to join us inside the Fix Your Gut formula.
I created this 4-step roadmap to complete gut health transformation because I wanted to empower as many women as possible. So I decided to create this program as a mini course and support group for only a fraction of the price of a single appointment with me. Want to learn more? Head to the link in the show notes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, number two is looking, of course, at diet and nutrition, because it's been shown and studied that when someone is under an autoimmune disease condition, that they're having inflammatory reactions, right? The immune system is under attack. So we have to reduce the inflammatory foods. It's like that, that's hands down. So sometimes people go like, you're going to make me quit eating all these things that I like. I'm like, yes, I am. You want to feel better? It's not a permanent thing, but so some of those inflammatory foods are sugar, eggs, dairy, gluten, grains, nuts. So, the main nutritional plan I usually put people on is an AIP or autoimmune paleo. And that I'll do that for like between 30 to 90 days and then see how they're doing, right? See just like how they're responding and also how were they, what was the extent of how they were feeling when we started? You know, there's a spectrum for that, of course. And so after those 90 days, reevaluate and see, you know, can we reintroduce some things in? That's basically like the real elimination diet instead of the food sensitivity. So like, okay, you're feeling great. Let's add in the eggs that we eliminated and see how you feel, right? So that's kind of the steps here. Sometimes I'll have patients have to be on AIP for longer because their body, especially if they have like a psoriatic arthritis, where it's, you know, just extreme inflammation on the outside of the body. And we have to work with the gut to be able to decrease that inflammation. Right. So sometimes things will take longer, especially when they're on the, in the skin. The next part of that would be, of course, supplements. And there's lots of different supplements for autoimmune. But when we're talking about the thyroid, I always want to look at vitamin D. Vitamin D is super important, as you were mentioning with the sun. So vitamin D can help with mood. That's a big part of autoimmune diseases, is that mood. You feel kind of, you know, you feel angry and depressed, sometimes anxiety, worry about, am I ever going to feel better? You know, all those things. So as part of that lab testing, I'll run a vitamin D, of course, see what their numbers are. I like to see people above, like the standard is around 35, but I like to see people in that 50 and over. That's what I see with my patients when they're 50 plus their numbers, they actually feel good. So of course, looking at vitamin D and then prescribing a vitamin D based on those numbers. And then vitamin B complex is great for thyroid conditions too, because they're in that place of adrenal fatigue. They've been stressed out most of the time, either because stress got them into the condition or they're stressed out still because they have the condition. So vitamin B complex and vitamin B or B vitamins in general can be really helpful for helping get out of that exhaustion phase. And that's really common.
I would say that's also really important because a lot of people that, like you were saying, have gut issues as well as autoimmune thyroid issues at the same time. And a lot of people with these gut issues aren't likely absorbing their nutrients very well from their food. So.
Yeah, that's so key. And, you know, if I suspect that they have a gut issue, which is usually pretty common, I'll put them on a probiotic and an enzyme to help things to start healing in the gut and to help them digest. Cause you know, if no matter what I give them, if they're not breaking down the food or not assimilating it or being able to take the supplements in and use them, there's no point. So we really have to, and that's a really big part, I think, of a lot of those autoimmune protocols. They want to make sure you're absorbing what you're eating and taking in. Otherwise, like, you know, just flushing it down the toilet into the brain. Let's see. Herbs are really great. Of course, I love working with plant medicine, and I always formulate a specific formula for a patient based on the whole body. But some of those thyroid herbs, of course, I love motherwort. Motherwort is great. Leonaris cardiaca. That's really going to help with that. Like you could think that type A personality, someone who's like really anxious and wants to go, go, go. And they're having a lot of heart palpitations and we just helps kind of like calm down the system. That's a really good one. I also love ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is a great adaptogen. So it helps our body adapt to stress. Really important when we're talking about the adrenal system, hormones, and the thyroid.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of adaptogens myself. But yeah, as I dive more into autoimmune stuff, it's, you have to kind of be careful. You don't want to like overstimulate the immune system or the imbalance, the hormones further with a strong stimulating herb.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing I think about herbs in general is, you know, you want to know how they interact, and they're great when they're used in combination as a singular, but also when they, you could think of when you're growing plants in your garden, right? They're usually not just one solo by themselves.
Right.
They're surrounded by other plants because they like to work together. That's how they, you know, they create this synergistic relationship. And when we use them in formulas together, the body's like, oh yeah, this is the stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So making sure you're using that combo is really important. And then also, like you said, you want to make sure that how's the person reacting? Like, are you having a good results? Are you feeling better? If not, change it up, change up the herbs. Mm-hmm. And I think in general, some people are like, oh yeah, I've been on that one herb for 2 years. I'm like, oh boy, no. Yeah. You want to have something different. Same with supplements. You want to switch it up because your body gets bored. It needs to have a different message.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes back to testing, then do you kind of routinely, how often would you monitor certain levels, and what would you be looking for when it comes to something like Hashimoto's?
Yeah. So, usually I will only test the antibodies in the beginning. And I'll have that number. And then after I've been working for a patient for a while, then I'll retest the antibodies and see if they've really gone down. But as far as the thyroid stimulating hormone, I'll usually test that every 90 days. Sometimes I'll do it every 30. If I'm really like, if the patient isn't improving, so I can see what's going on. And I didn't mention about testing cortisol. I always test cortisol. I'll do a full salivary panel because that's the stress hormone. And you want to see what phase of stress that the patient is in and help see like how much support do they need in that stress perspective. And then of course, mindset is important.
Yes. Yes, yes, for sure. And learning, you know, boundaries and being able to say no, I think that's a really big hurdle for a lot of women, especially, I'm sure men too, but it seems that in our society, again, we define our worth and our value and whether we should be loved and stuff by how productive and, you know, wealthy and whatnot we are. So, you know, it's, people have a hard time saying no and setting those boundaries because they want to be valued and appreciated, but at what cost?
Yeah, so true. You know, when I work with a patient over like a specific amount of time, I always am running them through one of my mindset programs, whether that's own your own power, talking about how to use your, you know, your voice, or my mindset reset, where it's 5 weeks of really getting into the mindset protocol. Like you said, how do you say no? How are you grateful? What boundaries are you setting? Those are really important. You have to address the emotional body, or it's like, you're only working on one half of your body. You're not going to get better.
Exactly. Yeah. And I see that quite a bit. That's something I want to try to add more to my practice, because I see a lot of people coming to me and, you know, we do all the things, especially say their main concern is bloating. And we're doing all the supplements and the diet and, you know, maybe they're exercising more than they were and that's all great. But then they're coming to me and saying, well, I'm still bloated. It's been like a month or 2 months or whatever it is. And the bloating's not going away. But then when I ask them what their typical day is like and what their stress levels are like, it's usually, you know, very rushed, lots of deadlines, lots of commitments, responsibilities, and not taking much time for themselves. And even just being someone, like they're a type A type person and they don't know how to relax without wine or something to make them relax. Right.
So, right. Yes.
Okay. Well, we have to talk a little bit about, you know, mindset and priorities. And like you said, even that evening routine, right. Having that dedicated time to wind down before bed.
Yeah. And mentioning alcohol is really detrimental to the hormonal system. And when working with patients, you know, I'm like, we're going to need to cut out alcohol for a few months to allow your hormonal system to come back into balance. And that can be challenging for someone. We, of course, that's that piece we have to look at. Like, how are you using alcohol? Is it a crutch, or is it for, are you using it as a place to reduce stress? Let's bring in some things that will help you in a holistic way to reduce stress. You know, looking at all this, is it genetics? You have a history of alcoholism in your family. I mean, there's all those components. But studies have shown that one glass of wine will increase your estrogen every day. So, you know, it's huge when we're talking about reducing alcohol from hormonal conditions, for sure.
Wow, I didn't realize I had that much of an impact, just the one glass.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah. So if you're in an estrogen dominant state, you really want to omit alcohol from your diet.
For sure. You know, And I even find, especially, you know, if we get to a point where my clients, like, they can tolerate a drink here and there, a lot of them even find that once they've been off it for a while, they don't necessarily crave it per se, but they find such horrible side effects when they do try to have it again. So whether it's irritating their gut, or a lot of my people have like histamine intolerance. So they're having something like wine or beer, which is very high in histamine, and they're getting, you know, super foggy and headaches. So they're just thinking at that point, they're like, well, it's not even worth it. I just feel so unwell after.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think another important part of what you said too, is that, you know, our bodies, when we eat sugar, and alcohol is basically just sugar, we break it down, right? And when we have specific foods, our cells have a memory, right? And so they get into this place of remembering that food, and they're going to be mad at you when you eliminate it in the beginning. They're going to be like, what's happening here, right? They have a little tantrum. And then, you know, when we have that place of healing, usually it takes 90 days because those cells regenerate in that 90-day period. And then when we reintroduce it, our body's like, oh, wait, no, remember, this is not what you want. And so I think it's like creates like this clean slate of awareness for people, which is so important.
For sure. Yeah. And I definitely, something I've noticed too, and especially in a lot of people that come to me and they're self-professed picky eaters, and they said they've been a picky eater most of their life, but they also have dysbiosis, or, you know, microbiome issues. And once we kind of balance that out, their appetite and their, you know, tendency to choose certain foods really shifts. It's really interesting how much the microbiome controls your appetite and your cravings for certain foods.
It so does. I mean, those bacteria, if you feed them sugar, they're just going to control your life.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this topic on autoimmune before we finish off?
I think the one last piece is just really the stress piece. I think we touched on it just a little bit, but I can't stress enough how important managing your stress with that mindset and bringing in, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's meditation or walking in the woods, whatever it is, just really taking that self-care for yourself is so important when it comes to autoimmune diseases.
Definitely. Yeah. And I find that, I mean, I have some people that have gut issues as well as autoimmune, but even in my clients that are just IBS, they, you know, getting these flares. And I said, have you been adding in this stress management piece? Because they often find that, and I'll get an email from them saying, oh, you know, this past week I made more of an effort. I went for a walk and I did some meditation, and they noticed such a huge shift in their digestive symptoms, whether it's bloating or pain. So it is such a powerful way to kind of manage any inflammation or symptoms in the body.
Right. Yeah. I think it's key.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lulu. I really enjoyed chatting with you and having you share your wisdom. Do you want to share with everyone where we can find you online?
Sure. Of course. Yeah. So, you can find me on my website at Doc Lulu, and that's like, what's up, Doc, DocLulu, super easy. And then if you go to my Instagram, that's the best place to follow me and find out about all the tips I'm leaving and all that kind of fun stuff. And that's at Dr. Lulu, LULU Shimek, SHIMEK. And that's a great way. Also, you can tap my bio there, and anything you want to know, it's there.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think you have a freebie that you sent me. So I'll put the link in the bio or in the show notes. It's 10 ways to get more energy. So that's a really great freebie to grab for anyone who's struggling with that. Because I know, especially with autoimmune conditions, fatigue is a huge factor.
Yeah. So big. And, you know, when it comes to energy, you can sometimes just the smallest things can make the biggest difference.
For sure. Well, thanks again for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Holly. It's been a wonderful pleasure.
That's it for me. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I hope you found it helpful, and make sure that you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. If you really love the show, be sure to share the episode on social or leave a rating and review in your podcast app. If you're a longtime listener, you know what's up. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Fix Your Gut podcast with more science-based, digestible strategies for root cause gut healing so you can get your life back and enjoy food again. Chat soon.